This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Man, before I get into anything, the Lions and the Packers are on right now, and the Packers are up 20-6. And the Packers really could have delivered the knockout blow. It was 4th-and-1 on the Lions, like 20-something, and they didn't get it. Jordan Love kind of fumbled a snap. Dylan ran into Jordan Love, and then Dylan got tackled in the backfield. I'm like, you know, they could have did the tush push. They could have did the brotherly shove, but obviously not everyone can do it. Not everyone can easily get 4th-and-1 yardage and get like 3 yards. See, you can't be like the bird. And that is the word. See, man, if y'all were anything like the bird, you would have easily got that. And it would be 27-6 right now. But you missed the field goal just like the Lions did. So, yes, 20-6. But you done messed up. Now you done gave the Lions hope and a drive. I mean, let's just see how we got here. Like, first of all, how do you let, if you're the Lions, how do you let Jordan Love, first play of the game, throw a post route, and not only throw a post route between the safeties, but underthrow it, get away with underthrowing it, and complete the pass? Damn! Like, what are you doing? Then, once they drove a little more and got to like the 7-yard line, you let him squeeze a slant in between like two defenders. You're playing like man-to-man, maybe with a linebacker roaming. What was that? You know, I thought this was going to be a game once the Lions answered right back, but then they want to turn the ball over. They didn't turn the ball over. Well, they gave up another score. Then they had the fumble. They're not protecting Jared Goff very well right now. And then the second fumble, Jared Goff tried to run. And he, you know, his ball security is like at a -2. So, of course, he got stripped. And the Packers couldn't take advantage. Terrible. Just terrible. Oh, they're showing Barry Sanders' graphic. They're showing all his accomplishments. I think he was like a 10-time All-Pro. I think he was MVP, and he's a Hall of Famer, obviously. I think that's what it said. See, thankfully, I got YouTube TV, so I can rewind. So let me see what they were talking about there. Rest in peace, John Madden. All right, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 1997 NFL MVP, and he retired 2 years later? What? 2004 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee. All of this because he has a documentary out, which is funny because I started watching it last night, but unfortunately, I started watching it at midnight. I was tired. I don't know why. That was a bad decision. So maybe I'll watch it tonight. If I don't, I'll definitely watch it tomorrow. I have to see this. And I have to watch it when I'm wide awake because it looks interesting. Oh, that should have been a roughing the passer. They messed up. Jared Goff got pushed, and then another guy hit him when he was on the ground. Like, that's, come on. But you call that one on Fletcher Cox against the Chiefs? That almost, you know, that almost gave them the game. Almost, but I'll get to that later. But more Thanksgiving stuff, though. I said on Twitter that the Lions are going to come back. It's early in the second quarter right now. But I promise you, they're going to come back. Especially since the Packers just left the door open. They just left the door open. I don't know why they keep playing. You know what? I had the Lions winning. Because they just been the better team all season, and they're at home with that crowd. I'm sure the city is buzzing with how good the Lions are doing. So I don't see why I would pick against them. And I still got them winning, even though it's 26. So I got the Lions coming back and winning 35-34. It could be a little bit more than that. But, yeah, I got them coming back and winning 35-34. This is going to be a thriller. I'm probably not going to be able to finish this game. I'm probably going to be over my cousin's house. But if I'm pressed, I could just watch the game on my phone. And the Lions just, they're about to punt. Listen, I promise you they're coming back. I don't know what they're doing right now, but I promise you they're coming back. Now, when it comes to other games, see, I wasn't even going to start with this. I was going to start with the bird. But this Thanksgiving stuff got my attention. Well, I guess I covered that game. I guess the main event, especially since I'm in the DMV, is the Commanders and the Cowboys. I meant the sitcom versus the overrated.
Facts.
The great big joke versus the great big overhype. Should be a good game, right? Honestly, you know what? It doesn't look good on paper. I'm not going to lie. You got the Commanders who just came off a loss to the Giants. How do you lose to the Giants? First of all, how do you even lose to the Giants? How do you lose to Tommy DeVito? And how do you turn the ball over 6 times?
Come on, man.
I'm so glad I didn't bet on that game. And you know what's crazy? Despite all that, they still had a chance to win. It was 24-19, less than 2 minutes ago. At that point, they was at 5 turnovers. And then Sam Howell did a Carson Wentz type of thing. Or, I don't know. I'm sure not just Carson Wentz have done this, but you've seen it before where someone tries to throw the ball away or it slips, or he was under pressure, to be fair. He was under pressure a lot, which is crazy, which is why I guess I should have seen that coming, that it was going to be a much closer game, because the Commanders' offensive line, while, yeah, their offense gets a lot of yards and scores a bunch of points, they give up a lot of sacks. I should have known they wasn't going to be able to block that Giants front. They didn't the first time. That's crazy. But remember, but look, he tried to throw the ball away, and it got picked, and it got picked 6. And, you know, and what's funny is the Giants fan threw a beer can at Isaiah Simmons. It wasn't a Commanders fan. It would have been, I don't know what's funnier, a Commanders fan throwing that because he was hating, or a Giants fan because he's so drunk that he didn't know what he was doing. He just threw the can at Isaiah Simmons because, you know, he didn't know where he was. It's still, that's a hands to the face. They missed that. Anyway, man, Commanders are hilarious. They had no business losing that game. And this is clearly the worst offense in the league. How do you give up? Now, they did a good job giving up 0 rush yards in 3 quarters, but then they gave up like 100 in the 4th quarter. Like, this team is hilarious. However, they can beat the Cowboys. However, the offensive line has to play better, or else Sam Howell is going to be under pressure. They're going to turn the ball over. And when you're playing the Cowboys at Dallas, that's a recipe for disaster. Because you saw what they did to the Panthers. Daron Bland had another pick 6. That's their MO. That's how they win these games. They put up a bunch of yards and points, and they get turnovers. That's the main thing. They get turnovers. And Commanders don't take care of the ball against, well, they're inconsistent at it. They take care of the ball against the bird, except the pick at FedEx Field. Other than that, they take care of the ball against the Eagles, but against other good teams, they don't. And the Cowboys feast on that. They got a monster pass rush, and they take away the ball. That's not good for the Commanders. And also, they got receivers in a passing attack that can give this mid-secondary problems. This is not a good matchup. However, if they can figure out how to take care of the ball and block this front, this is going to be a shootout. And I picked the Commanders to win on Pigskin. It doesn't look good. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm going with it because I refuse to believe the Cowboys are like that. And everyone's sleeping on the Commanders. Probably the Cowboys are too. So I'm like, the Cowboys should win. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that the Commanders play like they did against the Eagles both times. And they steal this one. I feel like I'm going to have them stealing this 28-21. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of non-sports watching people at the Thanksgiving dinner I'm going to. But we're going to find a way to show this game because we got enough of them to have to put this game on. Got to, because this is huge. This is huge. This is the biggest rivalry in the DMV. It's bigger than St. John's Gonzaga. It's bigger than Georgetown, Syracuse. It's bigger than Pittsburgh, Baltimore. It's bigger than Michigan, Ohio State. In this area. I'm just talking in this area. This is the Redskins and the Cowboys. Or Commanders. Or the sitcom. This is huge. This is the DMV Super Bowl. So, listen. All Thanksgiving parties around here, if they give one inkling of a care about football, we'll have this game on, and I cannot wait. Hopefully the sitcom win. We can't have Dallas winning and talking smack and thinking they like that. I think they are 7-3, maybe 6-3. We can't have them catching the bird. We can't have them at our heels. I want that 3-game lead, because a 3-game lead with what? 7 games left, maybe 6 games, that's going to be tough for them to come back from. I know we had a tough schedule. We're still in the middle of our little quote-unquote gauntlet, but still, I don't want the Cowboys anywhere near the bird. I want to be chilling in the last weeks of the season. Anyway, man, Commanders 28-21, it's a leap of faith, no logic whatsoever. My Lions pick is going up in flames because the Packers are deep in the Lions territory again. And I don't know what the Lions, after that first touchdown drive, I don't know where their offense went. I don't know why they can't. Oh, Aiden Hutchinson. Ooh, that's pass interference. Oh, you're not going to call that? What? That's terrible. Oh, Matt LaFleur is mad. He's mad. Oh, my God. Got him. Oh, no. That's nothing. That's nothing. He tripped him. I know they mad. But he barely touched them, and they tripped. That's a nothing burger. You better get off the field, bud. But that helps me with my Lions pick. They got to kick a field goal, and I don't know if he's going to make this. He missed. He already missed the extra point. Let's see. Good. Okay, 23-6 is better than 27-6. You can't get mad at that non-call. Feet tangle. You can't call that. I'm sure it's even in the book. I read it somewhere where feet tangling is a nothing burger. And that's what happened there. So, yeah. Too bad, so sad for the Packers. But call a better play. I'm just saying. Or Jordan Love throw a better ball. I'm just saying. It's just unfortunate. It was man-to-man. It's unfortunate. Anyway. All right, on to the last game. Seattle and the 49ers. So you got a team that's slightly above average in the Seahawks versus the 49ers, who I say they're the second best team in the NFC. Bro, what? All I'm going to say is the 49ers should win. They're the way better team. This is the way the 49ers have recently been constructed. This is a terrible matchup for the Seattle Seahawks. Like, 49ers, see, the Seahawks don't even have Kenneth Walker. They're going with Zach Charbonnet. I guess he's cool, but 49ers are good at stopping the run. They're okay against the pass, but I think they'll make up for their okay pass defense with that pass rush. And that pass rush is going to give Geno problems. That's what always happens. But if the Seahawks can utilize their weapons, I'm talking Lockett and Metcalf, for sure. Like, those guys are legit receivers. If they can utilize those weapons, they might can get with this team. Because we've seen the 49ers be vulnerable to good passing attacks. Like the Vikings when they had Kirk Cousins. The Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow. And Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson didn't even play against the 49ers. I think it was more so good defense from the Browns and forcing turnovers and winning the turnover battle from the Browns. But you saw what happened with the Vikings and the Bengals. Couldn't stop them. Couldn't stop their receivers. Couldn't stop their passing attack. I don't know if this is going to be the case with the Seahawks. You know, I don't think their passing attack is as good as theirs. Saw the Seahawks just lose to the Rams, and they almost lost to the Commanders. So I'm like, I cannot see Seattle winning this game whatsoever. I got the 49ers winning. 35-14. I could be wrong. It'd be good to see a close competitive game, but I just don't think the Seahawks are up to the challenge. The only thing is, the game is in Seattle, and it's a division game. That's the only thing that might make this closer. Other than that, this is such a mismatch. I'll give Seattle a little bit of credit. I'll give them a little bit of credit. I won't play them like that. I got 27-17 49ers. I still got the 49ers winning. We'll see what happens. Oh, and on offense, just way too many weapons, and everyone's healthy. Like McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, freaking Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk has taken off. Like, he is the guy now. George Kittle, Norman High. Shout out to Norman High. Shout out to, you know, my folks in Oklahoma. And shout out to Bruce Kittle, who I sent my highlight tape to in high school. So, yeah. I love how that comes full circle. Now I'm playing his son on Daily Fantasy Sports every week. And this was the guy, I didn't even know who his son was in 2010 when I sent his dad my highlight tape to get on the team, to be a walk-on. It's just crazy, man. Cause what's her name was the on-campus recruiting coordinator, Bruce Kittle. And he was the tackles and tight ends coach. So yeah. So I met George Kittle's dad. Man, what was this? 13 years? That's 13 years ago. That's crazy. Didn't even seem like that long ago, but it was. Jesus Christ. Anyway, man, yeah, 49ers gonna win. So I got Lions somehow, some way, even though it's 23-6. I got the Commanders, and then I got the 49ers. Easy money. I could have made it a parlay and took money line on all those guys, but I decided not to. I'm just sticking to my regular DFS. And I got a lot of Zach Charbonnet just for tournament purposes. And he's really cheap. Well, not really, because a lot of people going to pick Charbonnet for the same reasons. But I did it anyway. I don't care. Surprised I haven't picked more Deebo Samuel. I'm going to look through my lineups real quick and see where I got Deebo Samuel. Hopefully, I got him somewhere. I mean, if not, ain't no big deal. I can fix it. What the heck? This it? I am a low fan boy. Oh, Lord. All right, let me see something real quick. Ha, Terry McLaurin. CeeDee Lamb. I can't move him. All right, let's go to FanDuel real quick. All right, I know I got Deebo Samuel in one of these lineups. As long as I have him, yeah. Okay, he's in one of them at least. As long as I have him in one of these lineups, I'm good. Ooh, Tyler Lockett. Look at Brandon Ayuk. He's so good. Okay. The Lions trying to come back, but they still loafing. Anyway, man. Man, whatever. Anyway. This is ridiculous. So now let me get to the bird. 9-1. Best team in the NFL. Like, I absolutely love it. It just seems like we're going back to the bowl, even though the haters and skeptics and critics are saying this is one of the worst 9-1 teams ever seen, because literally every game except the Bucks and the Rams have been close. Cut it out. This team is legit, and they just beat the Chiefs when at least half of y'all had us losing. I say maybe 52% of y'all had us losing. I say maybe 60%. Especially the haters. They really thought we was going to lose to Patrick Mahomes. I get it. Patrick Mahomes, best player in the league. Andy Reid, best coach. I get it. But you got to respect the bird. You not messing with him. The defense has struggled pretty much all season, but when it came time to step up in the second half, they did. Even in the first half, you know what? We're clearly the best rushing defense in the league. I even said it last show. I was like, this team, I'm not worried about the gauntlet because nobody can run on us. And then what happened in the first half? 130 yards rushing? Unreal. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how they was gashing us. Now, some of them were holds, uncalled holds, but I can't believe how Isaiah Pacheco was getting yards. And he was hyped, too, so it was extra annoying how he was doing all the extra stuff after he was getting the first downs. But you just got to let that ride. That's just who he is. He's just all hype, all energy. I get it. I have him on my fantasy team for a reason, and I started him because I knew he was it just like the Super Bowl. He got some yards on us, even though we had a real good rushing defense then, too. But in the second half, we made adjustments, played a lot more man, we were a lot more physical, blitzed a little bit more, and it worked out. Now, I say it. Yeah, our pass defense struggles. Yeah, we're going against Patrick Mahomes. However, I trust our secondary against their receivers, and I was right. I didn't think I'd be this right, though. I didn't think the receivers were going to be that bad to the point where they're dropping passes. And Travis Kelce fumbling the ball in the red zone, dropping a key third down pass. Like, what? I couldn't believe that. I loved it. I'll take it. Because you can't do against a team like the Eagles is you can't give us chances after chances. We're too good of a team. And then also, oh my God, the brotherly shove. The number one way to stop the brotherly shove is to not even get yourself in the situation to begin with.
Facts.
Think about the Jets game. I think we did the brotherly shove one time. I think that was the least amount of times we did the brotherly shove all season long. And it makes sense because we were in a lot of third mediums and third longs. That's the number one way you stop it, because the Eagles get in third and one, fourth and one, they're getting it. There's nothing you can do. You get too low, you're just going to be on top of the thing. I mean, we're going to be on top of you. If you try to go over top, you're going for a ride like you're crowd surfing.
Facts.
You could try to play it straight up, but the momentum of the linemen, and you don't want to get too high because you get drove back. You don't want to get too low because you'll be beneath the pile with Jalen Hurts going over top of you. You just can't stop it. The only way you're going to stop it is if you have to drive our linemen back. And our linemen are so good at winning the leverage game, you can't do it. You just can't. I don't understand why people go on top of the thing. Even Troy Polamalu, and he's known for jumping up and over pop. Even Troy Polamalu couldn't do it. He would have went for a ride too. Y'all got to come up with a better plan. Or just keep our offense off the field, or keep our offense in medium and long. That should be your plan anyway as a defense, is to have us in a lot of third and fourth and mediums, third and fourth and longs. That should be your plan anyway. But y'all haven't been good enough to do it. So we keep getting in these third and fourth and ones, and we keep converting. Oh, and another thing you got to hope for is that we fumble the snap like we did against the Commanders. But, you know, that's only going to happen once every, like, 30 or 40 times we do it. So, yeah, don't count on that. But the Bird won. They won at Kansas City. And, of course, people are hating. People are blaming the refs. Maybe one or two calls went in our favor that looked bad. But if you take a look at it, if you look at the game, that there were calls that went against us that were bad too. It happens every game, but y'all going to make excuses. Y'all going to blame the refs. And I'm just like, come on, man. I have a counter for all of the games you blame the refs for. The first Commanders game, Terry being out of bounds, that was a close one. But no excuses, okay? It shouldn't even, you're lucky to even be in overtime to begin with. What was the next one? What was it, the Dolphins game? The Dolphins game, like, after the most egregious face mask pass interference call, after that was missed, you got a pick six and you tied the game late in the third quarter. And you threw a pick in the red zone. Just stop. Just cut it out. Just quit making excuses. You choked. Period. The second Commanders game, Devontae Smith got away with another fourth down. You know, ball hit the ground, but they said it was a catch. Man, whatever. I think we fumbled that drive. Like, come on, man. I could do this all day. The Cowboys game. Y'all complain about all the holds and what was the egregious call in that game? Was it the pass interference? Was it a phantom pass interference? There was a bunch of calls. I addressed this already, but there was a bunch of calls that went in our favor, or some no calls that went in the Eagles' favor. And I'm like, you could say the same thing on that side. And we had like four penalties on the final drive. You choked and had a penalty and two sacks. Whose fault is that? And also the Commanders game, you had a chance to win. You threw a pick in your own territory. Am I missing a game here? Am I missing a game here? I think I might be missing a game here. Man, I ain't trying to hear it. Okay? I'm not trying to hear it. Your teams are not that good. And we got the Bills next. They are mid. They choked against the Broncos. Yeah, they finally blew out the Jets. But they lost the first time against them. Like, your teams aren't that good. And the bird is the word. And when we play the Chiefs again, it's going to be even worse the next time. Will the Chiefs even make it with their receiving core and them not scoring in the second half? They literally are the worst second half scoring team in the league. They have the most drops in the league. Unless they fix that, we're not even going to see them in Vegas. Keep sleeping on the bird. Keep hating on the bird. I don't think y'all sleeping on him. Y'all just straight up hate. Don't hate. Congratulate. Like some folks in DC have been doing when I've walked the streets with my Eagles gear. Now, what else do we have here? All right, what else do we have here? Let's look at the list. Okay. The Wizards, they still can't guard anybody. They still can't guard a freaking toy robot. but yet they are fighting. They're trying. They're doing a little bit better, but they're still losing. They still have a massive losing streak. They just lost to the Hornets again, and it was a very winnable game. I think they only lost by 3. And who didn't play? They have no Terry Rozier. PJ Washington didn't play. LaMelo's killing it. He just put up 46 on Boston. Of course we weren't going to stop him. So he got his stuff off. Gordon Hayward had a mid game. Miles Bridges is back. He killed us. So I'm like, whoa. Is he not out of bounds? Is he? What? Nah, he's getting tackled. Whoa, yeah, he's getting tackled. I think it was Reynolds from the Lions. Oh, it was Raymond, Khalif Raymond. He caught the long field goal in the end zone, and he was running it back, and he got cooked. He got stopped at, like, the 20, 30-yard line. But anyway, back to this. The Wizards, man, they're still losing. They're still the joke of the league. At least I'm loving the effort. I'm loving the development of Bilal Coulibaly. He's better than I thought. He's not in the damn G League like some of our draft picks. But like some of our draft picks were. But like he's doing all right, and he's an important part of this rotation. Jordan Poole is mid. I can't believe it. He's supposed to be the next Gilbert Arenas, and he's only had 2 good games. Maybe 3. Kuzma is the guy on this team. He is our leader. I thought he was going to be second fiddle, but I guess not. Whatever. Still losing at the end of the day. They almost beat Charlotte. I don't know how they lost to Charlotte twice. They should have won all 3 games. They were somewhat competitive against Milwaukee, but Milwaukee got too much firepower. Same thing with Toronto. I think I'm missing something here. Brooklyn. They were competitive against Brooklyn, but, I mean, I guess it just wasn't enough. I guess with this team, it's just never enough. They're always taking L's. Everyone got their jokes. Team's trash. And, you know, I still might go to a game. But the way things are looking right now, just, it's sad. It's sad being a Wizards fan. We are trash. And I hope if we do bottom out and we do tank, well, first of all, we got to get rid of Unsold. Nice guy. Like I said, nice guy. Met him and everything. an awkward meeting, but met him and everything. But he's going to have to go. And we're going to have to get one of these draft picks coming out. Hopefully it's somebody in the top three. They have a better chance of being a superstar. Hopefully you get the right coach to develop them. But, you know, let's not completely give up on Wes yet. Let's give him a chance. It's not even the All-Star break yet. Things could turn around. But if the trajectory keeps going the way it's going, he's gone. Especially if they bottom out and say they have single-digit wins by the All-Star break. He might just be gone by the All-Star break. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I hope he at least finishes the season. But this is bad. This is really, really bad. I wish I had that sound drop, but I don't right now. And I won't be re-downloading it anytime soon. But the Wizards, they're trying. They almost won last night, but maybe they'll find something and turn it around soon. There are some silver linings. Like I said, Denny Avia, Koulibaly, it looked like they have a bright future. Corey Kispert, I guess he's doing all right. Disappointed in Jordan Poole. Gafford is solid. Kuzma's killing it. You know, he's playing on a borderline, he's playing a borderline all-star level. He's not going to make it, but close to that all-star level. You know what I'm saying? He is one of the bright spots for sure. We just got to hope for the best with the Wizards because these guys are just, oh boy. Oh boy. Man, if they could guard a piece of chicken, they would at least have 5 wins right now and not 2.
Facts.
On the flip side, shout out to the Caps. Once again, they're going upward. Their trajectory is going up. They've come back from their slow start, okay? And they're still second in the Metropolitan. Now, the Rangers are 5 points ahead, but they're second in the Metropolitan, and that is impressive. I love it. They just beat who did they play last night? The Sabres. They just beat the Sabres by 1. It was an amazing game. Went to overtime. I mean, they gave up 2 fluke goals in the first period. The second one was a turnover in their own zone. And I got to give credit to Benson from Buffalo. He had one of the sickest goals I've ever seen. Just so casual with it. Just... He slid the puck between his legs, got it, and then shot it between Kemper's legs, I believe, or beside him. It was sick. You just got to see it. I can't really describe it, but the goal was unreal. It was some trick play type of stuff, man. It looked like an all-star game type stuff. I couldn't believe it. It was nice, but it wasn't enough. Because we battled back with 2 goals of our own. TJ Oshie came through with a big one. I don't know how we... I think we went up 3-2. Or no, I think they scored. And then we scored late in the third period. And then Dylan Strome. Late, and I mean late, in the midnight hour. The Jack Harlow performance in Detroit hitting harder than the Lions. I just had to throw that out there. It is 23-6 Packers at halftime. But back to the Caps. I'm proud of them. They're doing well. I know this is maybe a trap. I know this might be a trap because it's the Cap cycle. And this is the part of the cycle where they do well. And, you know, they're looking like a top seed team. And then I'm sure the midseason slump is coming. And if we stick to the normal cap cycle, they'll pick it back up, get home ice, and then they'll lose in the first round. Like, it's just the same thing. Hopefully not. Hopefully this is another run, an unlikely, unexpected run, but hopefully this is another run to Stanley Cup Finals We got to do it before Oshie. Not just Oshie, but Ovi Ovechkin retires. Okay. What else we got here? Real quick, the Heisman watch. Oh, before I get to the Heisman watch, Trae Young cooked. He had like 45 versus the Nets last night. Very high scoring game. Him and Mikal Bridges, they had a hell of a game. Like, they had a hell of a battle. Cam Johnson did pretty good. Dinwiddie. DeJounte Murray is always cooking. Jalen Johnson didn't do too bad. What a game that was for Trae Young. I think he had, 43-9? I don't know the stats, but he killed it. You know what? I'm about to look at it right now. Because this kid was cooking, boy. Yeah, see, I think I got it here. I was right. 43 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 turnovers, but we're going to let that slide because it's just a part of his game. But Trae Young killed it. And it's ice, Trae the Gang. It's ice, Trae the Gang. Buddy killed it too. He was my contemporary at OU. 31 points. I'm not used to that from Buddy in the NBA. Wow. 31 points last night versus Toronto. It was a good matchup for him. He had 7 3-pointers. Yeah, you can't let Buddy get hot. Come on. What are you doing? Man, Buddy Hield, man. This guy. Still doing his thing. Still in the league. Still killing it. But I just had to shout out my guys. Now, real quick, the Heisman race. Real quick. Oh, Austin Reeves had 17-6-6. I mean, that's an okay game for him. And they lost. They lost. So they played the Mavericks. I mean, a winnable game, but they didn't play that well. But anyway, Heisman race. You know, my pick to win is Michael Penix Jr. Undefeated Washington. He always throws for 1,000,000 yards, and he has his Heisman moments, being clutch in these close games against, I don't know, USC, Oregon. I think they just beat Oregon State. And his stats so far, let me go right here. His stats is he has 2,945 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So he's definitely going to throw for over 3,000 yards. Jaden Daniels, 2,573 passing yards, 30 touchdowns. 30. That's crazy. So, so what's the name? So, yeah. He has 6 more touchdowns than Michael Penix. And he has a higher completion percentage. But his team is mid. No, they're above average. His defense failed him. Like, they've lost at least 2 games, I believe. And Washington's undefeated. So, like, Jaden Daniels has the stats, but, and he has 521 rushing yards. That's crazy. Anyway, what really messes him up is that, first of all, they're not in all these big games. And second of all, they've lost a few, and Washington's undefeated. So Marvin Harrison Jr. is in this. 889 yards, 8 touchdowns. The biggest thing is 18 yards per catch. I'm surprised he don't have 1,000 yards receiving. I'm kind of surprised by that. But I'm sure he'll get there against Michigan. No offense. But he'll probably get there against Michigan. So, yeah, this guy is on one. He's doing great. Probably be a top 5 pick. Heisman, I don't know. Like, he's just another guy that does well on the big stage. I think Jordan Travis is out of it because, well, he just got hurt. I think, honestly, I think these are outdated stats because I think these guys' stats are more than this. I probably should look on College Football Reference. They probably have better stats than this. Matter of fact, about to do that right now. College Football Reference. Let's go. But still, like, all right. Can't believe I messed that up. Anyway, okay, Michael Penix Jr. Okay, that's more like it. So, Michael Penix Jr. 3,695 yards, 30 touchdowns. Wow. 30 touchdowns. Let me see what we got here. That's the last five games? Anyway, man, 7 interceptions. QB, okay, pass percentage 66.5. Okay, cool. Anyway, okay, Jaden Daniels, 35. Okay, 3,577 yards, 36 touchdowns. That's pretty good. 36 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 72% completion percentage. It's between those two. It's between those two. Let me see where Marvin Harrison Jr. is at. He doesn't even lead the country in receiving yards, but I'm sure his numbers are still good because he shows up in big games. That's the big thing. So he has 77 receptions, 1,263 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 16.4. No, wait, that's 2022. So he got 1,093 yards, 13 touchdowns, 17 and a half average yards receiving. Oh my God. Or per catch. That's crazy. But still, it's Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix, and they're probably going to give Michael Penix the edge because he is on an undefeated team. And Jordan Travis, unfortunately, he's out for the season. It's devastating. He was having a magical season. His team is undefeated. And it's really unfortunate that he got hurt because he was in it. He wasn't going to win the Heisman. No, he wasn't going to win, but he definitely was in contention with his team, you know, being undefeated and him being a big part of it. So he had, 2,756 yards, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's pretty impressive. It's just too bad he got hurt. 63% completion percentage. So, okay. Worst completion percentage out of the three, but yeah, I guess he's out of it. But who replaces him? Bo Nix? I don't even want to look at his stats. It doesn't even matter. But Oregon, you got to look out for Oregon. You got to look out for Oregon in the college football playoff race because they are definitely not out of it. They only lost to Washington, and they barely lost. So they are not out of it. They definitely could play Washington again. Oregon State is no gimme. Even when Oregon State isn't good, it's a rivalry game. You got to respect that. But I think Oregon is just a better team, and they should win. So, yeah, you got to have that if you want any chance of getting into the playoffs. And I'm going to end with a GOAT level combo. Let's get back to the basics. Call yourself the GOAT and just take that out. You're the greatest of all time. Greatness is pretty much what you do. So you shouldn't be afraid to challenge yourself. Well, that's another one, but you shouldn't be afraid to take L's and grow. You're going to take losses in life. You must grow from them. If you don't, the losses are just going to keep happening, and you're going to have to tank pretty much like the Wizards look like they're doing right now.
Facts.
And prolonged tanking in real life is miserable existence. You got to have some hope of turning things around. And, you know, it's all about growth. It's all about getting better every day. Getting better as time passes by. That's what it's all about. So just take that L, because one day you're going to be a juggernaut. You're going to be a powerhouse, and you won't be stopped. And the L's will come few and far in between. Just ask Quince Orchard. They've only lost like twice in like 4 years. Anyway, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level is Mr. Rand Pugh. And you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.